interesting to me how one book leads to another, or how a book leads to something else, or even how something else leads to the discovery of a book. In the past week, I've read 4 novels, all of them picked up in secondhand bookshops in Washington State just last week. 2 of these books I found in a shop in the hamlet of East Sound on Orcas Island. The other 2 at a familiar bookshop in Port Angeles. All of these books are by different authors. 2 of them have been on my wish list for a while: Robertson Davies and Donald E. Westlake. Davies was a recent discovery for me through one of many book lists that I enjoy reading. Westlake I've known of longer. Until now, I had only read a selection of his short stories, one book called Thieves Dozen, published in 2004. It's part of his Dortmunder mystery series. A third author is surely better known than either Davies or Westlake, and that's Michael Crichton. And the last author is Elizabeth Daly, an American author of mystery fiction who was born in 1878. I'll talk about these in the order in which I read them just during the past few days. I wasn't looking for anything by Michael Crichton when I came across one of his many bestsellers, a work in historical fiction that's called The Great Train Robbery. Of course, it's well written, but I didn't expect to learn so much about Victorian England. For example, how so many people during that period feared the premature burial of apparently dead people. These people would construct coffins rigged with bells and sort of lines that were tied to limbs in case a seeming corpse revived and proved that the person was not completely dead. Crichton just feeds his reader constantly, page after page, with little historical tidbits like that. You can really tell that this is historical fiction that seeks to be faithful to history itself. Now I'm looking forward to seeing the film adaptation of the book starring Sean Connery and Donald Sutherland. So here we have an unsought book that leads to the discovery of an old film by 2 favorite actors. Robertson Davies was a prolific Canadian author. He also acted some, and he wrote some screenplays. Some reading list indicated that his fiction had a mysterious quality, and the way it was described appealed to me. I thought if I got a chance, I would read one of his books, but I might not want to spend full price through Amazon. So I was pleased when I came across 2 of his titles. I was willing to read pretty much anything that I came across. And one of the 2 is a book called The Manticore. This they sold me for 49 cents. Good deal. I began reading it, though, while I was chewing through The Great Train Robbery, and it turned out that it was too psychologically complex to be managed that way. So after the first 22 pages, I set it aside. Once I finished with Crichton, I got back to it, and the result is that Robertson Davies is a new favorite author for me. I don't know how I missed him until now, but I kind of am glad that I did. I don't know how much I would have appreciated him at earlier times in my life. Clearly, he's fascinated by Jungian psychology. In fact, if you're looking for an introduction to Carl Jung's theory, this novel might not be a bad place to start. I'm pretty sure that I'll be rereading The Manticore, but not before I've sampled some other books by the same author. Now, by the way, not only do we sometimes get referred to movies while reading books, but this can happen with music as well. There's a Canadian pop music band, now no longer playing together, called Moxie Fruvis. And they have a funny little song, kind of a fun song, titled My Baby Loves a Bunch of Authors. This song is a lamentation, you might say, about the fondness the guy has, the fondness that the guy's girl has for books. And he's trying to adjust to that. And in this song, several authors are mentioned along the way, among them Robertson Davies, of all people. That's something I just learned after reading the book and investigating the author's background. the fun of this is that the song itself is an enjoyable song, and so now My Baby Loves a Bunch of Authors is on my iPhone. Before meeting up with Davies in the Manticore, I'd never even heard of Moxie Fruvis. Now, the Davies book, as far as I know, has not been adapted for film, and I don't know how it could be. The characters are rich and interesting, but there's very little action. In fact, almost no action. The real drama is played out in the mind of the narrator. He's trying to make sense of his life with the help of Dr. Johanna J. von Haller of the Jung Institute in Zurich. The third book is the mystery novel by Elizabeth Daly. It's called And Dangerous to Know. It's part of the Henry Gamage mystery series. Now, Daly is new to me. Her novel is the lightest of the four. It's number 14 out of 16 books that she published. She was 60 years old when she published her first. The book is short and pretty easy to read, really, and not bad for a whodunit. It's just not the complex mystery that some other novels are. Agatha Christie, the British Grand Dame of mystery fiction, claimed that Elizabeth Daly was her favorite American mystery author. And that's really the reason why I decided to read her book. And you can tell that there's a strong stylistic resemblance between these two authors, Elizabeth Daly and Agatha Christie. Speaking of resemblances, my fourth novel for this commentary has something in common with Agatha Christie's celebrated book, And Then There Were None, which is also made into a film and reviewed here on this blog. That same book was called Ten Little Indians, and there were other titles that it went by over the many years that it has been published. Donald E. Westlake wrote dozens of stories. This one, Pity Him Afterwards, is the first full-length novel of his that I've read. Like Christie's Ten Little Indians, the setup has a group of people worrying about which of them is the murderer in their midst. In this novel, though, the reader knows who the killer is. At least you know the killer's background and how he came to be affiliated with this group of people. But the genius is that you don't know which of four members of this larger group this man is impersonating. It's really very clever, and being clever is a key word. It's what matters most to the madman who kills. It's clear that Westlake wants readers, as they read through this novel, to wonder whether there are mentally ill killers who don't deserve to be punished. So there you have it, four books. Crichton reads well, but I'm not really a big Crichton fan. I do look forward to renting the movie about the great gold heist of 1855. For me now, Davies is a must-read. What I've read so far really isn't light reading, but its psychological probing is fascinating and a spur to what I think is valuable self-examination. Elizabeth Daly's okay, but not a favorite new author. Westlake, I have to say, is even more rewarding than I expected, an excellent choice for the mystery lover. In summary, the two best of these four are Pity Him Afterwards by Donald E. Westlake and The Manticore by Robertson Davies. I can imagine reading all of Davies' books back to back, comparing them, settling on favorites, and rereading. Westlake, I'll be collecting two, but I guess I'll spread my reading out at a rate of maybe two or three novels of his per year. In the mystery genre, he's brilliant, and it's no wonder that he won three Edgar Awards.